Welcome to Renew Devotionals. In this time with God and His Word today, we'll be studying the book of Haggai as we continue in our Through the Bible series, Cover to Cover. Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His Word. Our scripture today comes from Haggai chapter 1, verse 9.
You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house.
There's an intrinsic desire in all of us for purpose. To contribute to something meaningful, something lasting, something worth value. But oftentimes, the voices of competing desires silence the calling of purpose. The want for security, for comfort, for ease. The hurricane of these drives can weaken the pursuit of purpose to a still, small breeze. But when God comes in, He reawakens this desire and calls us higher. We see this play out in the book of Haggai. As a consequence for their persistent sin, the Israelites were conquered and spent time in captivity away from their homeland. In the time of Haggai, the people have at last returned home. But their beloved city of Jerusalem remains in ruins. Most tragically, their temple, the dwelling place of God's presence, has been destroyed. God commissions the Israelite Haggai to serve as a prophet to Israel in this period of rebuilding. Haggai, however, is confronted with the reality that the Israelites are apathetic to the state of their temple. They claim that the difficult economic times make it too hard to build God's house. But Haggai observes that the Israelites do have the time and resources to build nice homes for themselves. Haggai confronts the people about their misplaced priorities. Are your personal homes more important than God's house? He questions. God stirs the people's hearts to hear Haggai's words and to respond in action. Convicted, the people then join together to work on the temple. Now, after Haggai convicts the people, it's significant how he continues to motivate them in their work. He reminds them of God's promise for the new Jerusalem and restored temple to be the place from which the whole world will be redeemed and all the nations gathered into God's everlasting kingdom. Haggai is motivating his people with hope. Work in light of this coming reality, Haggai is urging the Israelites. But Haggai also warns his people. Going through the motions of rebuilding the temple is not enough. Only true repentance and faithfulness to God will lead to the coming of God's kingdom. With this stipulation, the book of Haggai is left hanging with the question of whether God's kingdom will come with this generation. But this hope won't come to fruition until God Himself comes to build His temple. When Jesus came to earth, He declared Himself to be the very temple of God. What did He mean by this? Well, just as Israel's temple was a holy dwelling place for God's presence, so Jesus Christ was the indwelling presence of God among humanity. Jesus satisfied Haggai's call to have a pure heart while building the temple, living a life that was perfectly good and faithful to God, his Father. And then Jesus fulfilled God's promise of restoration, launching the age of God's kingdom reign and restorative work with his death and resurrection. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent his Spirit to live in the hearts of believers. God's own presence came to live inside of his people. This means that together, Christians now make up the temple of God. And just as in the book of Haggai, God calls Christians to join in the work of building his temple. So what does this look like? Well, if God's temple is composed of God's people, then when believers love one another, they are strengthening God's temple. And when they love those who do not know God, they are reflecting the love of Christ so that more might be welcomed in and added to God's temple. God gives us all different gifts and abilities so that we might love and build up his church. The message of Haggai and its fulfillment in Christ leads us to examine our hearts. Is my life shaped by the priority of building for God's temple? We might long for a higher purpose and aspire to sacrificial love, but it can be so easy to let apathy, discomfort, and competing desires get in the way. We have careers to build, images to maintain, families to take care of, like the Israelites, our own homes to build. Haggai both convicts us and reminds us of the hope that motivates action, that God will certainly complete his mission of building his home. This hope motivates action. It prompts us to pick up the purpose of building God's temple, because it reminds us that we, as the people of God, get to live as a sign and foretaste to the world of what God is going to do. The end of the Bible describes the new creation after Christ's return as possessing no temple, because God's presence will permeate every square inch. So when Christians live together as a unified body of love, a small-scale version of the temple that will one day be the whole world, they are building something of eternal, lasting value and inviting the world to see and desire God in the eternal life he offers. It's so important to remember this big picture vision, because oftentimes it can feel like our efforts, our small acts of love and service for God and his people, are insignificant. The kindness we show to a coworker, the portrayal of God's beauty in our art, our sacrificial care for a newborn. These are weighty things in God's economy. N.T. Wright, in his book, Surprised by Hope, discusses the significance that hope brings to our present reality. The work we do in the present, he says, gains its full significance from the eventual design in which it is meant to belong. He elaborates with the illustration of a team of workers building a cathedral. The architect has already drawn up the plans, and the tasks have been divided among the team. One worker shapes stones for a tower. Another carves decorative patterns in the stones. Another makes statues for within the cathedral. And when they're finished with their parts, the workers hand them over without necessarily knowing about where in the eventual building their work will find its home. They may not even live to see the completed building. But to quote Wright directly, they trust the architect that the work they have done in following instructions will not be wasted. They are not themselves building the cathedral, but they are building for the cathedral. And when the cathedral is complete, their work will be enhanced, ennobled, will mean much more than it could have meant as they were chiseling it and shaping it down in the stonemason's yard. God has called you to build his temple, his body of people. And he will use your acts of love and service for a glorious, eternal reality of utmost significance. So in light of this reality, take a moment to reflect. In what ways are you putting your own home before God's temple? Now, spend a few moments talking to God in prayer about how you might prioritize sacrificially loving others to build up God's temple. as you listen to the worship song. Praise God for coming to make his home with us, his people, and for using us to build up his church.
Come, sing of what he's done. There is hope for everyone. Sing of what he's done.